This is overwhelming. I haven't been invited to preach this conference in 20 years. It's a little nervous, but no, we're very thankful, blessed to be here. We have precious memories. I have precious memories everywhere I've been, pastoring, heartaches, wounds, but wonderful relationships that have been established, and will always be thankful for those things. I followed Brother Titus here, and he was nothing but a blessing. My time here, I remember my first service here, Brother Titus came up to me and said, "If I disagree with you, do you mind if I talk to you about it?" And I said, "No, Brother Titus, I don't mind at all." Well, we never did have those conversations. But we'll be preaching from Genesis 22. But before we go there, I want to call your attention to God, what God said to Abraham prior to our text. In Genesis 12, in verse 1, God said, "I will show thee." In verse 2, he said, "I will make of thee a great nation." In verse 3, he said, "I will bless them." Over in chapter 13, in verse 16, "and I will." In verse 17, toward the end of the verse, "I will." In Genesis 17, verse 2, "I will." Verse 6, "and I will." Verse 7, "and I will." Verse 8, "and I will." Verse 16, "and I will." And verse 19, "I will." From that, we see under a wide variety of circumstances, Abraham heard God say over and over, "I will." And in the process of time, God would do what he said he would do. And Abraham witnessed and experienced this time and time again. Through the varied experiences of Abraham's life, he is being taught God is a God of his word. He is being taught the faithfulness of God. He is being taught that God was one who could be depended upon. And coming to Genesis 22, we have record of the most widely known episode in his life, and without a doubt, the greatest trial in his life. And I believe that during this trial, those words were engraved upon the heart of Abraham. "I will. I will." And we all know that there are many different aspects from this event in Genesis 22 that we could focus upon. Many wonderful truths that are illustrated in Genesis 22. We want to read verse 7 and verse 8 of Genesis 22. "And Isaac," keep in mind, "I will." And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. So in verse 7, Isaac says, I see that we have the means of building a fire. But then he said to his father, he asked his father, But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham, in a tone of great assurance and great certainty, answers, My son, God will. God will provide himself a lamb. But then notice what comes next. So, God will. So they went, both of them, together. God will. So. God will. So. That little word, so, conveys the idea of thus. God will. Thus. They went. The little word so means for this reason. God will, so for this reason, they went. The little word so means in consequence of. God will, so in consequence of that, they went. It is God will, so. Their activity had its basis in what? God will. God will. That's our subject. God will, so. And I believe what we have here is a picture of victorious living. A picture of rising above the natural. A picture that of the life that you and I are called to live. So let's consider the setting of what's before us here. The account of Abraham's life, of course, begins in chapter 12. Coming to Genesis 22, over 25 years have passed. And the account opens with the words, verse 1, and it came to pass. From chapter 12 to this point, that's the 10th time that we read that phrase, and it came to pass. It's a statement of God's providence. By God's providence, we simply mean God working his plan. God working his plan. So when you read that phrase, and it came to pass, think God working his plan. But notice there in verse 1, it reads, and it came to pass after these things. The word after is indicative of time. It's indicative not only of time, it's indicative of order. So when it came to pass after these things, it is a statement of God working his plan with precise order and timing. And that's God's providence. Precise order and timing. Now, I believe the "and it came to pass" would refer immediately back to chapter 21 and most specifically to verse 34. The wider context, of course, would be Abraham's life up to this point. After these things, it came to pass. And Abraham had personally witnessed and experience time and time again the faithfulness of God to his word. He had personally witnessed the ability of God to do the impossible, the unimaginable. The all-encompassing sufficiency of God. He has witnessed it time and time again. The wondrous love that God has for him, he has witnessed over and over. And it came to pass, after these things, after all the personal experiences of Abraham, God did tempt or test Abraham. So Abraham is now under the test of God. A test according to God's timing. A test according to God's order. Aren't you glad that the test of life come in God's time, in God's order? Verse 1, God calls Abraham by name. He said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham, knowing God, having personally experienced God in his daily life, having come to the realization that I belong to God, having come to the realization that God loved him and that God always did what was best for him and that God was faithful and God was sufficient and God was able and that God had a plan for his life and that God worked that plan, and Abraham having embraced that plan responds, here I am. How else can you respond? Here I am. He's sensitive and he's available to God. The test is stated in verse 2. It's basically this. Take your promised and miraculously born and loved son and offer him for burnt offering. This is something that Abraham could have never planned for. Comes upon him suddenly. It's in God's order. But it comes upon Abraham unexpectedly. Again, it's not something he would have ever imagined. One day God's going to tell me to offer my son for burnt sacrifice. No, that would have never crossed his mind. It's not something he could have ever planned for. So there is Abraham. He's under this sudden, unexpected, inconceivable, unspeakable, incomprehensible, and shocking turn of events in his life. That evening, Abraham's life was interrupted by a heavy demand from God. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the mount of into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain which I will tell thee of. What we have here is in every way contrary to the reasoning and the natural affections of Abraham. But Abraham has been God-trained and God-prepared for this hour. And when trial comes upon our lives, if we've been paying attention, we've been being prepared for the hour. Take your promise miraculously and loved son and offer him for burnt offering. It is a test that would reveal Abraham's reverence and love for God, his faith in God, his priorities. We need to put ourselves in Abraham's place. Because God does send and allow events and circumstances into our lives. And he does at times place demands upon our lives that are saying, what do you love most? Me or what I give you? What do you love most? He sends tests into our lives that ask the question, whom or what are you trusting? And it came to pass after these things that God places this seemingly impossible demand upon Abraham. But he had been prepared for this hour. This demand is not placed upon him to harm him, to harm Abraham, to destroy Abraham. God doesn't put trials into our lives. God does not allow trials into our lives to harm us, to destroy us. That's not the purpose of the trial. But to challenge us, to help us, to change us, to strengthen us, and to better us, and to further teach us the greatness of God. So let's consider, how was Abraham able to endure this trial? Again, in verse 8, we see Abraham's response to Isaac's question. God will. God will. And the consequent or the result of that knowledge, that absolute persuasion, that conviction, so they went. God will, so they went. Hear Abraham say it. He's been hearing it all his life. I will. And now Abraham says, God will. God will. He offers no explanation how God would do. Because he wasn't told that. All he needed to know was God will. He offered no other option. He simply said, God will. We need a faith that needs no explanation. We need a faith that has no other options but God. God will. He's expressing what he believed. What did he believe? God will. That's what he believed. God will. He's seen it over and over in his life. He says to Isaac, God will. This is where his confidence was. This is where his dependence was. God will. This is where his heart was. God was real to him. God was relevant to him. And like Abraham, we need to be a people to whom God is more real than whatever else is going on in our lives. Hear Abraham say, God! That was his answer. God! That's still the answer. This was his focus. This was his priority. God! That needs to be our focus. That needs to be our priority. We need to be a people focused upon God. A people that thinks of God first and not the last option. You hear Abraham say, God. He knows that God is the Most High. He knows that He's the Almighty. He knows He's the All-Knowing, the Sovereign One, the Sustainer of all, the Faithful One, the All-Sufficient, Immutable One. He knows all of that. He says, God. We need to know that He is a God for every situation. He's a God for every circumstance. He's a God for every trouble. He's a God for every difficulty and every trial, every burden, and every heartache. Like Abraham, we need to be a people that know and are absolutely persuaded that no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter the magnitude of the problem or the trial or the difficulty, no matter how big the giant, no matter how wide the river, no matter how high the mountain might be, there is a God in heaven. And He is sovereign and He reigns and excels all. And Abraham says, God will. God will. We need to get that in our minds. It needs to be engraved on our hearts. God will. Well, how's He going to do it? You don't need to know. All you need to know is God. God will. God will. And I believe that's where Abraham found his enablement. God will. So they went. So they went. Their action was based upon, had its basis in, God will. What's dictating Abraham's life at this point? God will. So they went. It's just like a matter of fact. It's just matter of factly. God will, so they went. God will, so I did such and such. Verse 3, we read of Abraham's response to this unexpected turn of events. This incomprehensible demand that's being placed upon him. And Abraham rose early in the morning. Can you imagine? He did so affected and stirred by God. And I believe he got up that morning and this was upon his heart. God will. God will. We certainly do not know everything that went through Abraham's mind as he arose that morning. But I believe I do know this. Upon his mind that morning was God will. God will. God will so. So he gets up that morning, knowing God will. So he prepared his mule for the journey. And imagine the thoughts that went through his mind as he was preparing his mule for the journey. Imagine the whisperings of Satan. Imagine the whisperings of his own human reasoning. But overriding it all was God will. God will. So he proceeded to gather two of his servants and Isaac. And again, imagine what was going through his mind. Again, there's got to be the whisperings of Satan and human reasoning. But overriding it all was, God will. So. God will. So. So he proceeded to cut the wood that was necessary for a burnt offering. And all the thoughts that went through his mind as he's cutting that wood. But overriding it all, God will. So, Abraham, his two servants, and Isaac head in the direction of God's will. And again, we can only imagine the thoughts that crossed his mind. But more prevalent than all of those thoughts was this: God will. God will. We see Abraham. He did not know why God would tell him to offer his son? You don't need to know why. We always want to know why. You don't need to know. If you need to know, God will tell you. If he doesn't tell you, you don't need to know. You need to know God will. He did not know precisely. He knew he was going to the land of Moriah. But he did not know precisely where God was taking him, because God told him, he basically was, I'll show you when you get there. Well, we can't handle that. I got to know before I go. No, all you need to know is God will. God will. He really didn't know what God was doing. Isn't it amazing how people try to figure out what God's doing? Why do you need to know? Why do you need to know? You don't need to know. All you need to know is God will. He knew and had personally experienced the one from whom he had received the instruction. That's all we need. That's all we need. The instruction that God is giving me doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have to. You know the one it comes from. Trust him. Trust him. Why do you need to know? Abraham knew the one that's given me this instruction, he's never made a mistake. What he says is always right. He knew the promise of God. He knew that God was sufficient and God was able. You know what else he knew? He knew God loved him. He loved Isaac. And he simply believed God will. God will. God will. So he headed out. There they go. He was persuaded. God will. So, he stepped out with God. That's what we need to do. God will. So I'm going to just step out with him. I don't need to know where I'm going. All I need to know is I'm going with him. God will. So, people will ask, have you lost your mind? What are you going to do? I don't know. But God will. God will do what only he can do. God will do what he promised. He would do. We come to verse 4, and it's been 3 days. Can you imagine those 3 days? Abraham's a man. Abraham's a human being. Oh, how his mind must have raced those 3 days. And with each thought came this thought, God will. God will. So he was strengthened and he pressed on. During that 3-day journey, imagine the thoughts that went through his mind every time he glanced over at Isaac. Whatever those thoughts were, this would override it. God will. So again, he was strengthened. And he pressed on. During that 3-day journey, I imagine he thought of Sarah quite a bit. And again, there were the whisperings of Satan. There was human reasoning. But this kept coming to him. God will. God will. God will. So he was strengthened. And he pressed on. This faith, God will, triumphed over his natural affection, triumphed over all his human reasoning, triumphed over his self-will, and he pressed on. Be sure of this, it was not an easy 3 days. But Abraham made the unexpected journey. But who's he making it with? God. It really doesn't matter what the journey is as long as it's with God. He makes the journey with God. And he's believing. And he's knowing. God will. God will. For 3 days, Abraham is confident in God. There were struggles. But he kept on depending upon God. Kept on leaning upon God. Kept on cleaving to God. Kept on drawing from God. Kept on looking to God. And the result was he persevered in the direction of God's will. Believing and knowing. God will. And after 3 days, Abraham, still sensitive to God's voice, God says to him, Abraham, this is the place. This is the place. And upon arriving at the God-appointed place, verse 4, Abraham says to his two servants, you watch the mules while Isaac and I go and worship. And then notice what he said, and come again to you. How could he say that? Because he knew God will. God will. In verse 6, Abraham is seen taking the wood and putting it upon the back of Isaac. All the thoughts that had to race through his mind. As he's placing that wood upon the back of Isaac, his son, all the whisperings of Satan, all the reasonings of the flesh. But then came this thought, God will. So he took the means of starting a fire and took his knife. Continuing to believe, God will. And then we read in verse 8, and they went, both of them, together. Oh, what a picture. Isaac and Abraham headed toward that mountain. Isaac with the wood upon his back. Abraham with the means of a fire, making a fire, and the knife. And again, all the thoughts that must have gone through Abraham's mind. But with each step comes this thought, God will. So what did he do? He took the next step. God will! So he took the next step. You see, God will enabled him to take each step. We've all been there. I can't do this. I can't put up with this. I can't go on any further. Oh, yes, you can. Because God will. That's where strength is. God will take the next step with him. God will. Just continues on. And it was this God will that gave Abraham the stamina how many times we've received stamina because we know God will. God will. God will do what He said He would do. And God will do what only God can do. There's stamina there. There's fortitude. There's resolve. They begin to make their way up that mountain. And as they're making their way up the mountain, verse 7, Isaac says, "My father." I paraphrase, he says, "Dad, think of the effect of those two words upon Abraham. My father. My father." The natural human response from Abraham would be, "I can't do this. I can't go on with this." But then came this: "God will. God will." And Isaac says, "Where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham says very clearly, with much confidence, what was so powerfully upon his heart and mind: "God will provide Himself a lamb for burnt offering." That's faith. That's conviction. That's assurance. God will. And then we read, I believe they came to a standstill. So they went, both of them, together. And you'll notice that is the second time that we read, they went both of them together. We read it in verse 6. And then we read it again here in verse 8. Which tells me that when Isaac asked the question, they stopped. I mean, that's a question that will stop you in your tracks. "Dad, where's the lamb?" And you'll notice at first, they went both of them together. In verse 6, it is, "and they went both of them together." You see that word "and," that conjunction "and," throughout the account. It's just indicating event upon event. But when you come to verse 8, it's not "and they went," "so they went." God will, so they went. Their activity, their resolve to continue on is God will. God will. So they continue on. And now I believe they're both embracing God will. Isaac believed it also. God will. And they continue to embrace the faithfulness and the ability and the love of God. Never lose your embrace. There are difficulties in life. There are trials. There are sorrows. There are heartaches. But don't ever lose your embrace of God's will. God has this. God will do what He said He would do. You may not see how. It may not even seem possible. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is you know God will. God will. God's got this. I don't have to have it. He's already got it. God will. So they're energized by faith. And then in verse 9, "and they came to the place where God had told him of." And then we read, Abraham built an altar there. Imagine the thoughts that must have gone through his mind as he built that altar. But as he's building that altar and all those thoughts are coming in his mind, this thought overrides them all. God will. God will. I mean, it's getting close now. But God will. God will. Still embracing the faithfulness, the ability, and the love of God. receiving strength from God will. Then it says he laid the wood in order. Getting closer. And again, the thoughts that must have gone through his mind. And I'm sure he crosses my can't do this. But then came this. God will. God will. And then we read, and he bound his son Isaac. Still believing. Still embracing. God will. But notice, he laid him, Isaac, on the altar upon the wood. It is stressed, it doesn't just say bound Isaac, but he bound Isaac, his son. That's for emphasis. Bound his son. Isaac, his son. And all the emotions that he must have felt. And the thoughts that went through his mind. I mean, it's really close now. God will. God will. Most by this time, they're going to take the matters in their own hands. Because it doesn't look like God's going to do what he said he'd do, so I better take care of this. And that's where you mess up lives. God will. God will. Abraham has laid Isaac down. Abraham has let go of Isaac. You know when you can let go? When you know God will. Brother Dan, I can't let go. I've tried. I can't do it. Oh, you could. If you only believed God will. Because if you believe God will, you don't need to lay hold of it. Let go. Just let go. And we all have Isaacs that we need to let go of. Believing. God will. So there's Abraham. He's let go of his son. I've got to hurry. And he's there with uplifted knife, but still believing. God will. And then there came a voice from heaven, God. And because Abraham was so determined to carry this out, he didn't just say Abraham, he said, Abraham, Abraham! Twice. And Abraham responds, and this is how we'll always respond when we know God will. Here am I. Here am I. In verse 12, God commends Abraham. And then verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold. Believing God will, you'll behold a lot of things. Things you would have never beheld before. Abraham lifted up his eyes and behold. What's he beholding? God did what he said he would do. God did what only God can do. And Abraham would go and he would take of that ram and he would use it for what God sent it to be used for. The end result was what? Everything worked out. Why? Because God will. God will. We need to know that. It gets tiring. People are all obsessed with what's going on in the world. We need some faith. God will. God will. You know what world events prove over and over and over again? And what trials prove over and over again? That most of God's people don't have an ounce of faith. Do you believe today? God will. God will. God will. So, every day, step out with God. I've got such and such I got to face today. God will. God will do what He said He would do. God will do what only He can do. Step out with God. Keep on with God. Continue with God. And you'll be amazed at what you behold. Lord bless you.